Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We've got a lot to cover in the weeks ahead. We're talking about the life of Jesus in a study of the harmony of the Gospels. And the opening period of Christ's ministry is where we are. This is really the first full lesson on the life of Jesus. And we're studying the birth of Jesus from Sunday School Notes, written by E.A. Elam, for the Sunday Schools of July the 6th, 1924. And in our last class, we read from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 20. And we're going to have a detailed study of that passage as we continue with these lessons. But for now, we've got to look at some of the background material to the life of Christ. There is a golden text for the Sunday School lesson. It is found in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now the devotional reading is Isaiah chapter 11. And this is why Isaiah prophesied of that day when there would be a root to come, a branch to come from the root of Jesse, and that would be Christ, and the great kingdom that he would bring, and how there would be peace in his holy mountain. We'll read that passage in Isaiah chapter 11 in just a moment, so you may want to be turning there. And while you're doing that, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I want you to take note of that Wednesday evening Bible study. We call this heart-to-heart community Bible studies, or community heart-to-heart Bible studies. And we really invite those from our neighborhoods and from the community, and anyone listening to this program would be welcome to that, as we sit down together and have a Bible study in the middle of the week. And you would profit from that if you could attend. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let me read to you that beautiful passage from Isaiah chapter 11. As the prophet looked forward to the days we're going to be studying, he says in Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1, "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. And his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins." Isaiah 11 and verse 6. "And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea." Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse shall stand for an ensign of the peoples. Unto him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, and they shall lie down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together shall they despoil the children of the east. They shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Jehovah will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With a scourging wind will he wave his hand over the river, and he will smite it into seven streams, and cause men to march over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria, like as there was for Israel in the day when he that came up out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah chapter 11. Of course, some of that prophecy seems somewhat strange to us and difficult for us maybe to fully comprehend. But the best guide for understanding the prophets of the Old Testament is to see how they were quoted and applied and used in the New Testament. And we learn from the New Testament that much of what Isaiah is talking about in that chapter saw its fulfillment in Christ. Now, let's go to the introduction of this lesson on the birth of Christ. And there are some notes that are for the teacher here that we want to consider. For example, the first note: call attention to what a most wonderful event the coming of the Son of God into the world was, the very greatest event in world history, God manifest in the flesh. Now, number two, the time of Jesus' birth. Reckoning from the birth of Jesus did not begin until several hundred years after his birth. And it has been agreed by those who have studied the question that a mistake of 4 years was made in the places the birth of Jesus in the year B.C. 4, according to the received chronology. Jesus was born in the last year of Herod, and he was therefore less than a year old when Herod died. His birth occurred 4 years previous to our common era, the era having been erroneously fixed by Dionysius Exercius in the 6th century. This monk fixed the date of Jesus' birth 753 years after the building of Rome. But this cannot be the right date, because Jesus was born before the death of Herod the Great. And Herod the Great died in the spring of 750 after the building of Rome. Jesus then was born as early as 749 after the building of Rome, or B.C. 4. The date fixed by this learned month has been so long in general use that it is hardly possible to change it, and it is not necessary for practical purposes to try to do so. There is no proof whatsoever that Jesus was born on December 25th. On the contrary, it seems altogether probable that he was not born on that day. Now, note number three has to do with the harmony of the Gospels, and that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's what we read. What is meant by the harmony of the Gospels? There is but one gospel, and that is the same and unchangeable unto the end of time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the life of Jesus. his existence as the Word before the creation of the world, his birth, his actions on earth, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. What these four men wrote has been called the four Gospels, but they all wrote for the one purpose of proving that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Savior of the world. John writes in John 20, verses 30 through 31, "Many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name." Hence, all authority in heaven and on earth to speak concerning the salvation of the human race was given. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we read, "Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." These writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do not attempt to give an exact chronological order all that Jesus did and taught, but different events are so grouped together that they may be seen in what period of time they occurred. The putting together of parallel passages of these four different writers respecting the same events in Jesus' life and showing their agreement is the harmony of the gospel. Now, note number four has to do with Luke. Luke is the author of the book of Luke and of Acts in the Apostles. And he was born, it is supposed, in Antioch of Syria, and was educated to be a physician. It is in the book of Colossians that Paul wrote of Luke in Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 14, addressing him as Luke, the beloved physician. It is thought also that he was a Gentile, from his use of the pronoun we in Acts of the Apostles. We learned where he joined Paul in Acts 16, 10, and 11. He joined Paul when Paul came to Troas. And it's interesting to me that Paul would later write to the Galatians about how they bore with him in his infirmities. Paul was sick as he traveled through Galatia. Maybe when he came to Troas, someone said, "You need to see a doctor." And so the physician Luke was summoned and became a companion of Paul. Luke remained when separated from Paul there at the city of Philippi. And then he joined Paul again in Acts 20, verses 5 and 6, and accompanied Paul then to Jerusalem and on to Rome. He was not an apostle, and not therefore an eyewitness of what he wrote concerning Jesus, but he learned it from others. He was a scholar and traced the course of all things accurately from the first, seeking information and facts until he knew the certainty of those things wherewith he wrote. I read Matthew and Mark and John, and they make such fantastic claims about Jesus, and they make them in ways that they are credible. Wouldn't it be nice, someone might think, if someone were to go and check them out and see for themselves what they were saying? Well, that is exactly what Luke did. We read in the book of Luke, in the first four verses, "For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them to us, who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus."